Okay. The first thing that is listed up here is a portfolio project, and that has to be written in HTML. Okay. What the portfolio project is it's the beginning of the project that you can then use when you go out and start looking for a job, which really talks about you and shows examples of everything that you have done. So you can start collecting examples in all of the courses that you take that you can put in the portfolio, especially computer examples. So the project starts out, I want you to create an online portfolio. And for example, if you go to examples and look under HTML5, it says templates for portfolio. So I have one that is just a very basic one, and I'd like you to do better than that. But that gives your name, your email, your major, your option, a description, your professional goals, all of that kind of stuff. And so you can put those in. As I said, I would rather have you have a more personalized one that, you know, you develop. And you probably will change it by the time you come to the capstone course. So here is the page, and I have a link on the page, and the link goes to the second page. Okay, so remember that if you want to link to a second page, you have a page with this name in the same folder as the original page. And then you can just say A, H reference equals, and then put in the address, or not the address, the name of the page. So AH reference equals will develop a link. And here are the words to say, click here if you want to go to the next page. Okay, so those words tell you to click there if you go to the next page. And if I go back, there is the portfolio. And if I say click here to go to the table of contents, it clicks and goes. Okay. Now, none of these links work. You would have to make them work. But I don't think I have any in here that work. Okay, because I really didn't have anything to put in. But this would be a second page, and it's a list of your work. And you don't need the resume right now. The list of work is fine. Whoops. And so I have on this page three different links. And I link to different things. In this case, I'm linking to three things that don't exist. Okay, I've got just a link. So I make a link and I say click here to see, etc. What you're going to do here is make a link of the homeworks for, I think I said four, homework assignments. So you're going to link to four homework assignments. So you could link to a JavaScript assignment. You can link to a variety of different assignments. Okay? And if you are linking, if we go back, yes, at least four things. You can put the work, so it should link to four things that you've done, and probably linking to JavaScript is about as easy as anything. So you can list a bunch of JavaScript. You also, I think I asked you to put up a database page, okay? So you have a title page, a second page that has links to a database that you upload, two JavaScript programs, and something else, okay? So you just link to these things that you've written. A database, when you link at it, you just do it the exact same way as if it was an HTML. It's just that when you link, it's going to be the name of the database, And instead of ACM HTML, you're going to have ACCDB as the extension. So if you call your database first, you're going to write there first.accdb. When somebody clicks on it, the database will come up. Okay? So if it's a database, you're writing that. If you are putting in a document, you've got docx, or doc, depending on what versions you're using of what. So you're going to have that extension. So you need to put in the right extension for what you have. Okay? But if you look at how it's saved, databases are saved with an ACCDB. Word documents are saved with a DOCX or whatever. Okay, so you need to have the right extension when you bring them up. So if I have a database, the name first, I'm going to write here first.accdb. And if I have a Word document that I did on binary arithmetic or something, I'm going to write binary.docx. So I'm listing four things that you did. Okay? Visual Basic are not easy to put up. So if you choose to put up a Visual Basic, what you need to do is put it up in the zipped version. Somebody can then download it and run it. Okay, so if you're going to put up a Visual Basic problem, you want to put up the zip version, the same as when you send it to me. And somebody can then download it and run it. Okay? So we're not going to get into executables of Visual Basic and all that. We're just going to do a zipped. So I personally would avoid putting one of those up, and I would do other things. But if you want to put one of those up, that's fine. Okay? So you need to make this portfolio, and all it has to have is a title page and then a second page where you list four different things. Okay? By the time you hit your capstone course, if you are a computer major, by the time you hit your capstone course, part of the capstone course will be to make that a sales pitch, to make it something that you could show a prospective employer and help you to get a job, because you're showing the work that you've done and you're doing a resume and you're doing, you know, recommendations possibly, other things like that, so that you put together something that people will look at in the process of hiring you. Okay. Questions? No questions? You drive me crazy. There should be questions. If somebody said this to me, I'd have questions. Okay, so the portfolio assignment is there. Okay, the end is in sight, folks. We're at week 12. We will go through work. It's 13 and maybe into 14. It depends on how we're doing. Week 15, the last week, is an open lab week. So I don't do any classes during the last week. It's always an open lab week. Okay. Please keep in mind that your homework is 80% of your grade. Homeworks and quizzes are 80% of your grade. So if you don't give me homework, you can't pass the course. It's as simple as that. So please start getting homework in. There are some of you that are holding on to homework because I have one more thing to fix or one more. Better to send it to me and ask me a question about the one more thing than to sit with that pile of stuff that's almost done. Okay, because almost done doesn't cut it. So send it to me and ask me questions. Okay, that's my nag for the day, and I'll nag you again, okay? Now, we are going to start looking at, go back to Access. And we're going to look at it as a database that can have more than one table. When we looked at Access way back in week one or week two, we were only talking about one table. And so there was one table in the database, which makes it very basic. But that's not reality. Reality is that you're going to have many tables in your database. So if you have a database about payroll, you're going to have all the payroll information stored in the database. Okay? So we are going to look at a little bit of the theories of a relational database. And we're just really looking at it so that you at least understand the words and the concepts if people start talking about them. Because everything you do is going to be storing data on a database. Okay? If you're writing games, they're going to be storing data on a database. If you're doing business applications, they're going to be storing data on a database. Because if you don't store data, then you have to redo things. And that's not a good plan. So, a database is made up of many tables. And we're going to look at a relational database, which is the most widely used. There is other things out on the horizon like big data, but they tend to be right now for really big companies and they haven't gotten down to your average company that is still going to keep their database in a relational database. There are rules for a relational database, and the main set of rules is called third normal form. That the database should be in third normal form. And there are three rules to get me into third normal form. And those rules I just clicked on are back under my page. Okay, where I said normalization rules, third normal form. If you click on those bring up the rules that I just mentioned. Okay. So, the first thing is, a relation is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay. So what that means is, if I set up a table for students, and I have on that table the course name of all the courses they took, and the date they took the course, and the grade they got in the course, and that kind of information, and I want to put it for all of the students, and I want to put all of the courses that they took on their record. Okay, that's a repeating group. And the problem with repeating groups is how many slots do I set up? If I say, all right, most students only take at least 30 courses. They don't take more than 30 courses. So I'm going to set up 30 repeating groups. And the day after I set up 30 repeating groups, somebody signs up for the 31st course. And I tell them, sorry, you can't take a 31st course. You're out of luck. And the kid can't graduate. So we have a problem, okay? So we can't have repeating groups. I tell the story about I was placing an order over the phone. And I got to the fifth thing, item, and the woman said, thank you very much for your order. And I said, but I'm not done. I've got three more things that I want. And she said, your order is full. I can't take them. And I said, but I want them. And we discussed for a while the fact that she needed to take them. And she finally sighed and said, all right. And she started a whole new order for me. Because her form that she was filling out had repeating groups for five things that I could order. Once I ordered five things, there wasn't any slots to put a sixth, seventh, and eighth thing in. So she couldn't do it. So the only way she could do it was set a brand new order, and I had to give her my name, my phone number, my address, and all of that information all over again before she could put the three things in. Okay? So she needed to have one where I had two tables and allowed for repeating groups. Okay, so we were talking about the student table. And so on my student table, I'm going to have the student number. And the student number is what is called a primary key. PK stands for primary key. And what a primary key is, and you did it in the tables that you set up in Access before, what the primary key is something that uniquely identifies a record. So you cannot have two records with the same primary key. Okay? So a primary key uniquely identifies the record. So I'm going to have student number as my primary key. Okay, then I'm going to put on the student name and address and email and phone and other things about the student, including major. Okay, so I've got the student information, their number, their name, their address, their email, their phone, and what they're majoring in. And this is now I want to keep information about what courses they're taking. Well, if I try to put it on this table, I'm going to end up with repeating groups. So what I'm going to do is come over here and set up a student course table. So I'm going to set up a second table for a student course. Now the important thing is that I be able to link these two tables together so that if I am looking at the student's courses, I can find out the student's email, or I can find out the student's name for that matter. And so I'm going to put on here the student number as well. And that student number can link over to this one. So these two tables can link together. Because if I know the student number on one of them, I can go get records that have the same student number on the other one. Okay. So on the student course, I'm going to put the student number. I also need to have the course number, so that I know what course they're taking. Okay, so I need to have the course number. And probably you would carry a bunch of things like which section it is and all of that, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm just going to carry the course number. The other thing that I need is the date the student took the course. Because if I don't put the date on there, if I have just the student number and the course number, and let's say I decided that the combination of those two was going to be the primary key. So I can't have the student number as the primary key, because then the student can't take more than one course, right? But if I combine the student number and the course number as the primary key, that means the student can take a variety of courses, because it can be student 111, CIS 120. Student 111, CIS 121, and so forth. So I can have the student number and the course number. And that's unique until somebody messes up and doesn't pass a course and they want to retake it. Okay? If the student number and the course number are the primary key, they can't retake the course, because if I put in the same student number and the same course number, it's not going to be unique anymore. So what I can put in here is the semester and the year, and make those three things together the primary key. Okay? So I've got the student number, the course number, and the semester year. Okay, so I've got student 111 took course CIS 120 in the spring of 19. Okay, that's my primary key. And I can have student 112 took CIS 120 in the fall of 18, they didn't pass it, so they took it again in the spring of 19. So those are now unique keys. Okay, there is something unique about them, and it's the date. And then the person could also take 112 CIS 121 in the spring of 19. And that's fine because that's unique as well. Okay, because it's 121 instead of 120. So that's my key. These are my keys. Then I also want to know what grade the student got in the course. So I'm putting grade on there. So I'm saying, okay, this person got a B in the course, this person got an F and retook it and got a C, this person got a B, and so forth. And that's the grade. Okay? So I can set up the student course table. But the point we're getting at here is that I need to have a separate table for the courses because each student is probably going to take more than one course. Sometimes a student just comes here and takes one course, but the average student is going to take a lot of courses. And so I need to have not have repeating groups, so I need to set it up in another table. And then I have to figure out what can be the unique identifier of the records on that table. And the unique identifier is the primary key. And I can put together multiple fields that make the primary key. So student number plus course number plus semester year, that's an R, make a unique key. Questions so far? Okay. So now that takes care of first normal form, because first normal form said I can't have repeating groups. So now if a student takes 20 courses, they are going to have 20 records on this student course table. If they take 12 courses, they're going to have 12 records there. Okay, but each record only talks about one course and when it was taken. So number two says a relationship is in second normal form if it's in first normal form and no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay, so grade is dependent on all three parts of the primary key. Grade has to do with a particular student taking a particular course during a particular semester year. Okay? So grade is not dependent on just part of that. If I put on here and try to put on here the course name, okay, course name can't go on here because course name is only dependent on the course number. Course name is only dependent on the course number. So therefore, it's only dependent on part of the primary key. Okay, so if I come over here and say, okay, I want to keep course name, and it's dependent only on course number, so I can't do it. It's not dependent on anything else. It's only dependent on course number, so I can't do it. Yeah.
So would you need to have that as another part of the primary key if you wanted it to?
No, better to set up another table. So what I would do is I would come over here and say, okay, now I'm going to set up my course table. And my course table is going to have the course number and the course name and the number of credits and any other information about the course that I want to keep. And the course number is going to be the primary key. Okay? So again, because the course number is the primary key, I can link back and forth between these to. Okay? And that's the important thing. I need to be able to link back and forth between my tables. The other just kind of aside is that you should never carry information that's not part of the linking process more than once. Because if you carry it more than once, then if you need to change it, you need to change it multiple places. So if I carried course name over there on that Stu Courses, and I changed the name of the course, then I got to go into everybody's record that took that course and change the name. Whereas if I put it on a separate table and the course changes its name, I can just put it one place. And that course number over there links over and now gets the two course name. So I will carry it where it's not related to everybody. There was a company that my husband worked for, took a job with at one point, and when he got there and started looking at the stuff, he immediately started applying for another job because essentially they did a horrible, horrible database, and he was going to be working with the database. And for one thing, they kept a person's name five different places. So if a person changed their name, you had to remember to change it in five different places. Well, that's not going to happen. So the person's going to end up with one name here, one name there, and it's just not going to work out. So the only thing that you want to repeat is things that make it possible for you to link. If you repeat other things, you're asking for trouble. So then a relationship is in third normal form, if it's in second normal form, and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, so in this case, let's say I wanted to put on the major name. Well, the problem is the major name links to the major, so it's the same problem over there. The major name links to the major. It doesn't link to the primary key. Okay? It doesn't link to the primary key. So I can't put that on this table. So what I do instead is I start a fourth table called major table. And I have the major here as the primary key, and then I can have the major name, and I can have how many credits to need to graduate, credits to graduation, and whatever I want to have, but I can carry that on the major, okay, and who the department chair is and all of that about the major. And so if I am processing a student and I say I want the name of that major that student is taking, then I can link over here and get the name of the major. So I can link back and forth and get the name of the major. So I've now put in four tables. I've now got four tables. Okay? And everything that you think of is going to mean more tables and so forth. And if when you start putting in finances and paying bills and all the rest of it, you've got a very complex thing. A database should not, and this is my personal prejudice, but it's shared by a lot of people, but a database should not be designed by one person. It should be designed by a group. A group of technicians and people that work in whatever it is that you're designing the database for, whatever business it is. Because the people in the business know what they need, the data that they need. The technicians know how to get that data and how to say, wait a minute, if you want that piece of data, that's going to be very difficult to collect, very difficult to save. It's going to be expensive. Do you really need that? And so they need to be able to talk to the practicalities of it. And then they will set up the style and set up how the database works. But they need to be able to talk to the business because they are doing this to support the business. And so you need multiple people involved. And it's just also good to have people bouncing ideas off. No, that's not going to work because, well, but we need this because, and having that bouncing kind of conversation going on. Okay. So that is a database. Okay. So now we're going to talk about another kind of database, another set that we might do just to kind of go over these concepts again. So let's say I've got a custom company that people order things via email or via the phone, but I don't have a walk-in store. I'm selling things, you know, either by the phone or by emails or by going to a website and doing it and that sort of thing. So I have my company. Actually, I think I'll start with customer. I have the customer. So I have a customer table. And the key on this is going to be my customer ID. So that's going to be the primary key. And then I'm going to have the customer's name, and address, and contact information. And I'm going to have a load of information about the customer, okay? So now I'm also going to have an inventory table, which is my company table, basically. And my inventory table is going to have my item number, which is my primary key. And I'm going to actually write NO because when I translate this, I should not have special characters. And I'm going to have the item name. And I'm going to have the cost for me to get it, and the price that I'm selling it for, and I can have my on-hand, my on-order, my reorder point, and other things that I need to know about my inventory. The main thing being I'm going to have a record for each item that I carry, okay? And it's going to have the item number, the item name. So a customer calls up and they want to place an order. So the customer calls up and they want to place an order. What information do I need to keep, get from them if they want to place an order?
Name.
Their name. Okay, so if I get their name, I probably am going to use their name to go in and find their customer ID. Okay, because it's a lot better to carry the customer ID than the customer name. First of all, the customer name isn't the key, and second of all, two customers can have the same name. Whereas the customer ID, I have made explicitly unique. So if they call for the name, I'm going to go into this table and get a customer ID from it. Which, that whole thing is an interesting. When you go into the doctor's office, they will let you give them either your hospital number, probably your social security number either, but they ask for either your patient number or your patient name. Okay? If you give them the patient name, they're going to go and key in the patient name, and it is going to go and come back with all the people that have that same name. And then they're going to ask you a question, given what they're seeing on the screen, to determine which one of those people you are. Okay? Now, there is another thing that we haven't talked about called an index. And an index is a way of ordering the data so that you can access it more quickly. And the primary key is organized in a way to let you access more quickly. But if I decide that I want to be able to come up with the customer name quickly, I can use an index, which keeps in the background the order of the file using the customer name. And that's just, as I said, kind of an extra. So, on my order table, I've got my customer ID. Okay? What else do I want on there? Actually, I'm not going to have that the primary key. I was talking and writing at the same time. Usually, most companies will use an actual order number as the primary key. So they'll actually make up an order number. Then they will also keep the customer ID. So they will have an order number that is unique, and then they will have the customer ID. Okay? I could do it with the customer ID, but it's more complicated. So the order is going to have an order number, and that's going to be the primary key. It's going to be, I have a customer ID that lets me link back to the customer table. What else is going to be on the order table?
The item number?
Well, we get into the problem if we get the item number is we're now getting into the area of repeating groups. Because probably the customer is going to order more than one item. So we're probably getting into the area of repeating groups when we say item number. So I'm going to leave item number out. Think about a bill that you've seen that comes in on paper or on the screen. There is usually information up at the top part, and then there's the list of items you bought down at the bottom part. Well, the order table is kind of going to be where I get that stuff up at the top, which usually includes the order number, usually includes the customer ID. And once I go over to this table to get the customer ID, I get the name that I'm going to put on that order, the address that I'm going to put on that order. And what else is usually on that top part? How about the date? The date of the order. So I'm going to put in the date of the order. Okay, so on the order table, I'm going to have the order number, the customer ID, which links me over to the customer table and lets me get their name, address, phone number, anything else I want, and the date of the order. Okay, so those are the things that are going to be on the top part of the order. And then as somebody said, we have the item number. So we're going to have the order detail table. And again, if you think about an order that you read on the screen or on paper, there's usually all the stuff that I got from the order table is up at the top, and then all the stuff down below is the details about each item that I ordered. Okay? So, what am I going to have to carry on the order detail? First of all, I need to carry the order number because I need to have the order number that can link these two together. Okay, so that I know what the items are on the order table. So I have the order number and that links those tables together. What else do I think I need on the order detail? Yeah.
Quantity.
But before we get to quantity, what is the main thing on that line, on those lines down there? We definitely need the quantity. But what's the main thing? How do I know what item it is? Item number. I'm going to go with item number. Again, I don't want name because two items might have a similar name. And in fact, they might be a different vendor. So vendor might be a good thing to put in here too. The vendor that I get it from. And I might have two items that have the same item name that I get from different vendors. But the item number is going to be unique because that's a number that I give it. So the item number is going to be unique. So I've got an order number and an item number. And then I get into, okay, so if you look at it, it's on the bottom part. I'm going to have the item number. The item number is going to link over here and be able to get me the item name. Okay, so it can link over to there and get me the item name. So that's the next thing I'm going to print. And then we need to have, as somebody said, the quantity. So how many of this particular item do you want? Okay, so I've got to give them the quantity. Now, I said that I didn't want anything on here that's a repetition. And my inventory table has the price. But there's a big but here. The inventory table has the price, but it's the current price. If they ordered it yesterday or the day before, the price might have been different. So usually or frequently, people will take the price at the moment of the order and will put over here the quoted price. Okay, the quoted price. Because if I place the order and you tell me that it is $25, and then I get my bill and it's now $26 because the price has gone up in the inventory table, I'm not going to be happy. Okay? If you give it to me for $24, I'll be very happy. But if it goes up, I won't be happy. So lots of times what we do is take over the quoted price. So the price at the time of the sale, we go over and use the item number to access the inventory table, find out what the price is at the moment that I made the sale, and bring that price over here as the quoted price. Okay. So now I've got the order detail. And the only other thing that's usually on the detail is the multiplying of the quantity times the quoted price. And they usually put that on the line as well. I'm not going to carry that because the computer does multiplication beautifully. And so we'll let it do its multiplication. Okay? These two things together are the primary key. The order number and the item number together are the primary key. Now, the only problem with that is if I'm ordering a whole bunch of things and I get to the bottom and I give the same item number again, it's going to reject it because I've already got it. So that's fine. I just scroll up and fix the quantity so that I've changed the quantity. If you wanted to order five more, I'll go up and change the quantity. You could put a special code in there that says first time ordered, second time ordered, third time ordered, whatever. But that doesn't seem terribly plausible. So this is setting up a set of tables that can be used in this way. And I don't have repeating groups. All of the things tied to the entire order, order number, item number, that quantity and quoted price are tied to both of those things. The others only have one field as the primary key. Okay. On number three up there where it says third normal form, a candidate key is something like social security number. Okay, that's unique. It's against the law to use it if you're not officially designated to use it, but it is unique. Okay, and in fact, the school many years ago used to use the Social Security number as the student ID. Okay, but the student ID is the key, and a candidate key would be Social Security number. That's just an example of a candidate key. Okay, so there is another setup of an inventory table. Okay. Now, other things that people talk about when they're talking about databases, and we're actually going to do one on Thursday, so Thursday is going to be a practical day. Other things that people talk about are the relationships that you can have between data. So I've got two tables. I can have a one-to-one relationship. Which doesn't happen very often. But the best example that I can think of is if I have a payroll thing and I've got my employee table and I want to also have private. So on the employee table, I'm going to have the employee number as my primary key, and over here I'm going to have the employee number as my primary key. And here I'm going to put the name, the address, anything general, and over here I'm going to put salary, evaluation, and that kind of thing, so that I'm putting the stuff that's open, anybody in the company can see it, on the first table, like their name and address, phone number, extension, etc. And then stuff that's nobody's business except the companies and the person, and I'm putting them on a separate table. Okay, so that's a possible example of a one-to-one. They're not used very frequently. Then I have a one-to-many. And those are the things that we've just been looking at, actually. In the student, we had a student table. And then we had a student course table. Okay? And between those is a one-to-many relationship. One student can take many courses. Okay? So I can have one student on the student side, and then I can have up to, let's say, 20 records if they took 20 courses over on the student courses. Okay? So I'll have over under the student one record for a student, and here I will have one to many, or I'll have many, we'll say. You could just have one, but usually you have many. So here I will be able to have many records for the student. Okay. So I will have many records for a student. So one student can take many records. Another example was the order. One order can have many items on it. So that was why I couldn't put the items on the order table, because one order could have many items. So that was another example of a one-to-many relationship. One order orders many items. Okay? So that's another example of a one-to-many relationship. And then the third example is a many-to-many relationship. And one of the best examples I've seen of that is movie and stars. So I have a movie, and I have the movie number, movie ID, and that's the primary key. And I've got the movie name. I've got all kinds of information about the movie. Okay, who the director is, what the cost is. I've got all kinds of information about the movie. But when I came to putting stars on, a movie can have many stars. So I can have many stars. So I say, okay, I can't put the star information over here, over there. And so now I come and I've got the star ID, which is the primary key. And I've got the star name. And I've got information about the star. But the star is going to be in many movies. You're probably not a star if you haven't been in many movies. So I've got this problem. A movie can have many stars, and a star can have many movies. So that's my problem with the many-to-many. And so what I end up doing is saying, I need to bridge this. So I do what is called a bridge table. And my bridge table here is going to be movie star. And I'm going to put in the movie ID and the star ID. Okay, so I'm putting in the movie ID and the star ID. So if the movie has five stars, I'm going to put five records up here. Same movie number, different star number. Same movie number, different star number with a five. And then I can put data on here that relates to both parts, which would be the salary. Okay, the salary that the star got for that movie. So that relates to both the movie and the star. And if they got a bonus, that could be on there as well. But what they got paid for that particular star got paid for that particular movie is going to make a many-to-many relationship. Okay? Questions? So if I go back and look at the student and the courses, that really is a many-to-many relationship either, also. Because one student can take many courses, and one course can be taken by many students. And so this student course table becomes a bridge between these two, because it has the student number and the course number. Because one student can take many courses, and a course can be taken by many students. So that makes that a many-to-many relationship. Okay, so this becomes a many-to-many. And that's not what I meant to do. But I think I already had it. Good. I meant to make a copy of that. And the same thing is true here. The customer and the inventory, or order in the inventory, customer rather, in the inventory makes the order table. Because a customer can place many orders, and an inventory item can be ordered by many customers. So you frequently get into a many-to-many relationship when you started out doing a one-to-many. I started out talking about a customer and an order. But then I realized if they were ordering something, I needed to be able to look at my inventory table And so then I picked up that this is a one-to-many relationship. So if I copy, clone the page, probably. I was playing around enough that I'm going to save it once because I'm paranoid. Okay, so now if I go back to my handout. Okay. We're going to work on the database in class on Thursday and talk about how to apply this to Access. Okay, but I started out and I said, I want to keep the following information. And as I said, we'll look at this as a database. So this is similar to the one that we did, but this is the way it would kind of be handed to people, is this is the information that I need to keep. And you figure out how I'm going to keep it. Okay? So I start out and I say, okay, I need information about the student. So this is going to be one table. And I'm going to have on it the ID, the name, the city, the state, the student's GPA. Those are going to be on this table. And the primary key is going to be the student ID. Okay. Then I've got information about the department. And I also need to know what department the student is in. So that means I'm going to have to add a department number. I use department number here. When we were looking at it, I use major. It's the same thing. Okay, your major is CI. You're in the CI department. So I'm thinking of department as major. So I got to put the department number up there. And I've also got to create a department table. So I've got to create a department table that is going to have the department code as the primary key, and then the department name, the department chair, whatever else you want to keep about the department is going to be in there. But I want to be able to link to the student's department. So that means that up in the table about the student, I need to put the department number. So I need to have that field in two places. Okay? So then I've got information about the courses held at the college. And so this is going to be my course table that I talked about. And I'm going to have the course number, which is going to be the primary key, the course name, and the number of credits. Okay? So I've now got the student table. I've got a department or major table. I've got the courses at the college offers table. And then I said down at the bottom, and then I want to keep information about the student taking a course, including the semester and the year they took it and the grade. So this is going to be the student course table. Okay? So what information did I put on the student course table? What do I need on here? These are courses that the student took. So what's a good guess that I need on there? Yeah.
Course
name? Course, not name, but ID. Better to go with IDs. I need the course ID, and what else do I need?
Semester.
The semester I've got there, yep. And I need, what about the student? I got to know who's taking it, right? So the student course table is going to have the student ID. Okay, the student ID, which links up to that right there. Okay? It's going to have the course number. Which links to that right there, to the course number right there on the course table. And then it's going to have the semester and year, and then it's going to have the grade. And what did we say the key was for this table?
What was the primary key for this table? Oh, come on, some brave soul. You can only be wrong or right. No biggie. Yeah.
Course number
can't be the only primary key, can't be the only one, because then you'd only have one entry here with course number, and there's going to be more than one person taking the course. It's going to be a mixture of things.
The year and the ID?
Yeah, partially. We're partway there.
Which part?
So is the student ID, course number, and semester?
Yes. It's these three things together. Because it is a student taking a course, a specific semester and year. So it's a student taking a course in a particular semester a year. Okay? And if you don't get your homework into me, you will be on that list twice. Okay? So get your homework in so you're only on that list once. Under this course name, at least. So, wasn't that clever? Snuck it in there. Semester ID, course number, semester year is the primary key. And then I have the grade. And the grade relates to all three. When you have data and a primary key that is more than one field, the data has to relate to all of the fields. Now, the other thing that we have here also is a foreign key. A foreign key links to a primary key. So, student ID links over here to that student ID, and that is a foreign key. A foreign key is a field that links to a primary key. So, student ID links to a primary key, course links, so it is a foreign key. This part here is a foreign key that links. Yeah. Okay, so a foreign key is a field on one table that links to a primary key on the other. And in this case, the fields that are doing the linking are part of a primary key, but they're not an entire primary key. So the student ID is linking to the student ID on the student table. Okay. Questions. Okay, you're supposed to have questions. Questions. You didn't answer my questions, so you must have questions, right?
I don't know what my questions are yet.
Okay. I'm actually going to not go into Access today. We're going to do it. And I got this done faster than I thought because you didn't ask any questions. And so we're going to call it quits because I don't want to start the practical example until we have time to really do it. So we're done. If you have questions, stay. If you have questions on a homework assignment that you haven't been able to figure out, stay. We've got 15 minutes, or no, we've got 10 minutes. So if you have questions, hang around. Yeah.
Who's the mentor interview doing?
I don't know. I gave you.